Thank you, Pastor Dave. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. My message for you today is entitled Forgotten Promises, or The Forgotten Promise, or Neglected Promise. And just to start off, I'll give you a little information about myself. I'm a very patient person. I have the ability to wait for a long period of time for something that is promised to me, and that's because as a child, we grew up in a very poor family, my siblings and I, and so my parents, my mother specifically, would make promises to me and say, you know what, I'll get that for you later. You know, a certain toy I might want from Toys R Us or various things. And she would tell me, you know what, we can't get it now, but we'll get it. I'll give it to you soon. So I waited and I waited. Some were fulfilled and some were not. And that's okay. Patience was built in that. But in the Word of God, we have a few promises, some famous promises that we remember, but there is a promise that we have forgotten. There is a promise that we have neglected to notice. The first promise that we do notice is in Genesis chapter 3, a promise that was given in the hearing of Adam and Eve, but it wasn't given to them, it was given to Satan. And this promise is, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Adam and Eve heard this promise with joy, because God said to Satan, you will not have the last laugh. You will not have complete dominion over them, because I'm going to take the fight to you. I'm going to come to you, and not only that, I'm going to defeat you. You are going to hurt me, yes, but I'm going to crush you, which means your days are numbered. And as Revelation shows, his time is short. So we remember this promise. Adam and Eve remember this promise of a coming Messiah. Now, another famous promise that we are known to remember is the one given to Abraham. That beautiful promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, which God says to Abraham after he offered Isaac, he was going to offer Isaac and he stopped him. It says this, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, by myself I have sworn. He's making an oath. Says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nation of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Here is a famous promise that we all know. The promise of the coming Messiah, the promise of God giving the land of Israel to the Israelites, and the promise of the heavenly Canaan. Now, this promise has been fulfilled in type. As we've seen, they did go into the land. The promise was given, and it's beautiful. And the promise of the coming seed was also given, and Jesus. And because of Jesus, we have been adopted into the family of Abraham. We are children of Israel by faith. Maybe not by blood, but definitely by faith, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we know these two promises, but now I'm going to show you a promise that many of you may not have noticed. And this, just to give you context, was when the 10 spies came back from the land of Canaan, 12 spies, sorry, 10 came back and gave a very bad report. So bad that the people cried that night. And they felt, we cannot take it. Almost as if they forgot that the same God that was leading them into the land of Canaan was also the God that defeated and overpowered and freed them from the most powerful nation in their time. Well, I don't know how they forgot that, but they did. And two, One in particular, Caleb, spoke up and says, "Guys, we can take it. I was there. I saw how powerful they are, but we can take it." And they said, "No, we can't." They bought into the propaganda by the 10 spies that they couldn't take it. And so there's a conversation that happens between God and Moses. You see, they were going to stone Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua. But then God showed up and everyone, whoop, let me keep my mouth shut. It's almost like daddy came home and the kids went hiding, you know? That's basically what happened. So now God has a conversation with Moses, and I praise God for recording this for us. Notice this conversation in Numbers chapter 14, and it goes like this, verse 11. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?' So God says, 'I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.'" Moses gets the opportunity of a lifetime to because God basically said, "You know what, Moses? Let's scrap this, take these people to Israel plan, and I'll do it through you. You're a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you have two kids. I'll make a nation out of you. What do you say to that?" Now, Moses is a unique guy. He's very unique. He's Christ-like, you could say. And he says this, "Moses said to the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.'" So he makes the first point, God, everyone will know about this. Now, we might think that this wins God over, but it doesn't. Because God has heard in the land of Canaan before. Balaam was a prophet of God. The world knew God, in a sense. Though they corrupted the religion, they still knew him. So this is not something that wins God over. But Moses continues and says, "Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.'" Now, one might think, that's a strong point. But it's actually not. Because God's done this before. Remember in Genesis, he wiped out an entire world with a flood because of their sins. These people sinned. So it wouldn't be wrong for God to do this. And plus, God can do this again to another nation. He's done it before. In their future, he destroyed Jerusalem, right? And let Babylon come and take over. So this is not something that wins God over. But here's what wins God over. Moses then says, "And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy,'" or some versions say loving kindness, "just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Moses does something unique. Moses quotes God, his glory, back to him. He tells him his glory, tells him his character. He says, "I know you are just, and you are just in destroying them, but I know you. I know you personally because I asked you to show it to me, and you revealed it to me. And now I'm going to quote it back to you." And here's what God says. "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardon according to your word.'" I have pardoned according to your word. Now remember, this is about a neglected promise, a forgotten promise. And here is the forgotten promise, because God's not done. He says in verse 21, "But truly as I live," that's oath talk, "as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." All the earth. God has promised a powerful promise here. He says the entire world will know me, Moses, as you know me. The knowledge of my character will be revealed to every living soul upon the earth. But here's the thing, though. Centuries pass. Moses dies and is ascended to heaven. Israel goes into Canaan. The promise of Canaan is remembered. The promise of the Messiah is remembered. But this promise is forgotten. But we see God mention it once again. In Isaiah chapter 6, a young prophet called to comfort the people of Israel who have apostatized, who are going into sin, and their future looks very bleak. The nation is doomed to be destroyed because of their transgression. And so, as Isaiah goes out and he preaches, he says, you know, you are a people of unclean lips. He continues to preach and he realizes, man, my efforts are in vain. I'm striving to reach these people, but it's not working. And so God gives him a vision. In chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. With 2 he flew." So he enters into the most holy place in heaven, and he sees God. The man who once said, "I'm a man of unclean," no, "you are a man of people of unclean lips," now he says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." You see, he got a vision where he was taken up to heaven, but it brought him down to earth. It made him realize his true place, that he's no different from the people he's speaking to. But here's something now. In the throne room of God, the angels are having a conversation. And it says, "And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." But don't miss this, brothers and sisters. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is. Now notice they say is, meaning present. But this is interesting. If I was to ask you, is the earth currently full of the glory of God? No. So are the angels lying? No, they don't lie, which means this is a prophecy. They are foretelling the future. What future? When is this going to happen? Well, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And it says, "After these things I saw an angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." Angels don't have their own glory, brothers and sisters. It's God's glory they reflect, which means, here's the beautiful good news, that 1040 window we've been trying to reach, God has promised, as I live, it will be filled with my glory. In Maritimes, as I live, it will be filled with my glory. Canada, as I live, will be filled with my glory. United States, as I live, it will be filled with my glory. The whole world will be filled with his glory. Now, why is that so important? Because if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have the glory, I'm noise. If I know all mysteries and all prophecy, if I understand Daniel, Revelation, if I read Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, and the entire series, but I do not have the glory of God, it means nothing. If I give my body to be burned, if I'm a martyr for the gospel's sake, if I serve my community, but I do not have the glory of God, it means nothing. I am nothing. But you might say, "Pastor, that verse is about the love of God." That's exactly what the glory is. And here now, wait, how do I get this? We get it the same way Moses did. We go to God in prayer and say, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, let me see it. Let me know it. Give me the knowledge of it. Why? Because Jesus says, for this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now I give you even greater hope, brothers and sisters, because Jesus also said in his prayer to his Father, he says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And then he says, that all the world may know that you have loved me. You see the process? It still happens. Now here is the beautiful revelation of what's going to happen when that glory is given, brothers and sisters. And it's in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And it says this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. What is this darkness? If the glory is the character of God, then the darkness is the anti-character of God. The darkness is a misapprehension of God, that God is punishing me. God is trying to destroy me. God hates me. God does not accept me. But the truth is, no, God condescended, took the likeness of sinful flesh, and said, let me tabernacle with man. Let me have some food with man. Because God came, not came eating and drinking with sinners. God came saying, hey, let me come over your house, tax collector. Let me come over your house, prostitute. Come and wash my feet. Let me hang out with you. And it will reveal to the world that God is love. And this is the promise. This darkness will be dispelled. And here is the good news. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And here it is. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They shall gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. This is the promise. God has said, as I live. So do not be disheartened, though you are trying in your efforts to minister to your community, minister to your family. Remember, as Isaiah did, remember as he said to Moses, as I live, I give you my word, humanity. I give you my word, pastors. I give you my word, lay people. I give you my word, men, women, and children. Your efforts to reveal me, I will be with you, and I guarantee you, the entire world will know that I am love. Do not give up. So keep on holding the torch, shining the light of the glory of God, shining in the face of Jesus. Because your efforts will not be in vain. Because soon, very soon, we will hear the bells tingling, the bells ringing of the high priest leaving the heavenly sanctuary. And we will see the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Because we have been faithful to reveal the glory of God to a world in darkness. May this bring you heart courage. May this bring you hope. Because he said it. As I live, they will know. Amen. Amen. Let us close with prayer. Is that what happens? Let's close with prayer. Dear kind and merciful Father, we hear the promise, and we are sorry that we have forgotten this promise. But Lord, we now remember it, and we ask that you may bless our souls with your glory. We ask for what Moses asked, show it to us. But because of what Jesus has said, we ask, O Lord, give it to us. We seek it. The world is dying for it. And we ask that you may plant it deep within our souls, that no matter what may come our way, no matter what misapprehensions of you we may have, even in our own minds if we're honest, that it may be dispelled by the love shining in the face of Jesus Christ. For you have revealed yourself to your Son. For he has said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We know who you are, and we praise you and thank you for this knowledge. You have given us a knowledge of our Creator, the greatest blessing. And we ask that you may bless us with wisdom, tact, and skill to reveal this love to our brothers and sisters who are not of this fold, so that they too may rejoice in you, O Lord. And for they will proclaim, as you said in patriarchs and prophets, that in the beginning God is love, and in great controversy in the end God is love. We pray that every soul may understand that you, O God, are love, for you have promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.